Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's Wednesday, June 28th. Do you know what day it is? It's today in sports betting. Hello and welcome to the pod, a midweek day of all baseball. And as always, I'm your host, Doug Reed, and you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. Please send me any comments, thoughts, or questions you have. And if you don't mind, please rate and review the show. It helps me out, helps our crew here at Sports Ethos out. And as always, if you haven't checked out our website yet, go to sportsethos.com. A lot of information there on every sport, whether you're into wagering, whether you're into fantasy sports or DFS, a ton of information. Podcasts, articles, our NFL fantasy draft guide is out now. Great. Fantastic piece. A lot of reasonable price packages and a lot of free information, so check us out. I know you'll find something of value. Before we get into the games, on this day in history, a few birthdays. John Elway of Denver Broncos fame turns 63. Bobby Hurley of Duke fame, but also current head coach of Arizona State men's college basketball team, turns 52. Of the Hurley family, which has roots in high school basketball in Jersey and obviously NCAA at his brother at UConn right now and him at Arizona State. On this date, actual events, in 2000, Kenyon Martin was drafted number one overall by the New Jersey Nets. Not going to say that was a bust, but wasn't probably their greatest pick ever. Had a decent career, but nothing fantastic. 5 years later, Andrew Bogut was drafted number one overall to Utah. He definitely, well, you know what? He wasn't an NBA bust either. Had a decent career, but definitely not. Neither of those guys were number one overall kind of picks. The biggest bust, though, 2006, my Toronto Raptors on this date drafted Andrea Bargnani. And he was for sure a bust. Played a number of years here. Went to the Knicks. I think that's where he ended his career. Never really amounted to what they thought he was going to be for, I think, a 7-1 center. Never really brought his game to the NBA. And the next year, 2007, he may have been an even bigger bust. Greg Oden, out of the Ohio State program in college basketball, was drafted number one overall to Portland, and he barely played at all. In 2012, Anthony Davis was number one overall to New Orleans. Definitely not a bust. Definitely a great player. Not sure he's Hall of Fame bound. He's not even close, I don't think, the Hall of Fame bound. Great player. He's got some shortcomings and injured all the time, but definitely a legitimate star in the NBA right now with the Lakers and LeBron. So some interesting draft picks, most of which on this date have not been that great, other than Anthony Davis. But a little walk down memory lane. On to the diamond, and we start with an early game, 12:20 in the East in Atlanta. We have the Twins in town to face the Braves. You can get the home Braves at -155 in the money line, the road Twins at +135. Total here is 10, juiced -110 on both sides. I think that's due to the pitching matchup. The Twins send righty Kenta Maeda, who's been hurt most of the year, one game back recently, pitched well the other about a week ago in his first start and 5 days ago. Just 21 innings, 6.86 ERA, 1.48 whip. Not really sure I can back him against Atlanta, who does very well against righties. And the flip side of that is Kobe Allard making his season debut and his Braves debut, actually. Good prospect coming up for Texas, but struggled mightily with the Rangers and has not lived up to his billing at all. So Not really sure I'm on either side here. Can't back the Braves at minus 155. Plus 125 on the run line. I'm seeing money coming in on that. 79% of the bets, 89% or 98% of the money on the Braves run line. I don't know. Not really sure I can back a lard here. But the reason is, against lefties, Minnesota is brutal. Their triple slash line, 216 batting average, 27th in the league. 291 on-base percentage, 29th in the league. 374 slugging percentage, 27th in the league. Brutal against lefties. And a WRC plus of 86 against lefties, which is 28th in the league. Put that around, the Braves crush righties. 262 batting average, 7th best. 336 on-base, 2nd best. 472, the best slugging percentage. And the 3rd best WRC plus at plus 113. So I like the Braves. Don't like him at minus 155. Maybe on the run line at plus 125. Although Maeda did look good in his first game back, don't really trust what he can do. So if anything, I would look to the Braves run line. Not on this game yet. Not really sure I'm going to be on it either. Next game, 4-10 in the East. We have the Washington Nationals in Seattle for an early game, obviously, in the West Coast against the Mariners. And you get the home M's at minus 250 in the money line. The road Nats at plus 210. Total here is 8.5, juice to the over at minus 115. And, sorry, total is 8. I actually got the under 8.5 earlier on DraftKings at minus 115. So if you can get 8.5, shop around for that. I don't necessarily like 8, but I like it at 8.5. And on the hill for Washington is Patrick Corbin. 89 two-thirds innings, 5.32 ERA. 1.61 whip. Has had a good year in his standards for the last couple, but really not pitching that well. 6.42 expected ERA, so over a run worse than his actual ERA, and a 5.17 FIP, so a little bit better than his ERA. But I'm actually waiting for him to regress a little because he's had a good year, but he's been hit hard lately, so I don't really think he's up to standards. But I think he can keep Seattle's bats in check, and we'll get to that in a second. But Logan Gilbert on the flip side for Seattle, the righty, 86 in the third, and it's 4.07 ERA, 89 strikeouts, 1.02 whip. And he has actually underperformed his peripherals. So 3.54 expected ERA. So what's that, about a 0.6 better than what his actual ERA shows, and a 3.64 FIP. So he's been the victim of some bad luck, not crazy bad luck, but some bad luck. But why I like this game under. So against righties, Washington has a 252 batting average, 12th overall, but a 307 slugging, 24th, and a 307 on base, 24th overall, and a 380 slugging, 24th overall, and a WRC plus of 87, 26th overall. So they are not... They're hitting a little, getting a decent average, but they're not getting on base. There's no slugging, and the WRC plus is brutal against righties. On the not a good lefty, but Washington struggles with lefties. 243 batting average, which is 19th, so not great, but roughly bottom third. 306 on base, 24th. 395 slugging, 21st. They do have a 99 WRC plus, which is 20th, but basically bottom third of the league against lefties. So I don't think a lot of runs are going to be scored. I think Gilbert's a good pitcher. He's been hit hard in a couple games, but in general he's had a good year. So I think he can limit the Nats. And Corbin is obviously not a good pitcher, but I don't think Seattle's bats can get to him. They've kind of struggled all year. Julio Rodriguez has woken up lately, but they just don't have the depth in that order to score a lot of runs, I don't think. So I'm on the under 8.5. If you can get that at 8.5, I would try and jump on it, shop around. If you get it at 8, I'm not really sure I want to be there, but 8.5 is a number I definitely look at. Get back, hit the rest of the diamond.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. The next game is in Toronto, 7:08 in East, where the Jays host the Giants. Nothing up on DraftKings right now. But when we look at FanDuel, the Jays come in -122 in the money line. The road Giants +104. Giants won 3-0 tonight, beating Kevin Gausman, which is no easy feat. Although they scored 2 runs in the 9th, kind of put it over the top, which definitely helped. Total is 8.5, juice to the under at -115. I actually think this is a pretty good pitcher's duel, and I might kind of look to the under. Webb comes in 105 and a third innings, 3.16 ERA, 1.10 whip. And when you look a little deeper, 3.64 expected ERA and 3.64 FIP. So maybe outperformed a little, but not that much. And on the flip side, well, I have Bassett going, but I also see Trevor Richards lined up. I think it's a Bassett is probably going to start. When we look at his numbers, 4.32 ERA for Bassett, 4.61 expected, and 5.0 for FIP. So outperformed a little, and he has struggled lately. When I dig a little deeper, he also has that's Logan Webb. Bassett comes in with a 1.206 whip and a 4.32 ERA. But he has been hit hard lately. Last game against Oakland, although Oakland was hot, 5 innings. Oakland hot, kind of a strange term when you think of that. But 5 innings against Oakland, 5 hits, 4 earned runs. Prior to that, at Texas, 3 2/3, 7 hits, 3 earned runs. Prior to that, at Baltimore, 3 innings, 11 hits, 8 earned runs. A couple good games before that. So his June has been up and down. And, you know, 6 of his last 7 outings haven't been great. Started out really cold, pitched really well, and then kind of rebounded. And Logan Webb has pitched well all season long. So I would lean pitching matchup, I would lean towards Webb, but I just like the Jays' bats, especially at home. Not going to lay 122. Probably stay away from me. +104 on the Giants' money line is probably not a bad price because Webb's been pitching well and Bassett has been a question mark. And the Giants' bats have been quite good as well. So if anything, maybe retract what I said earlier. Maybe lean towards the Giants at +104. But in general, pretty much a stay-away game for me because I don't really know that I trust the Giants' bats, and I do trust the Jays' bats too, although they've been above average but not great, which is what everybody expected this year. But if anything, I lean towards Giants if you can get plus money-ish on the money line is probably. We have the Pirates hosting the Padres 7-5 in the East. You can get the road Padres -165 in the money line. The home Pirates +140. Total here is 8.5. Juicy under at -115. If anything, I would definitely lean to the under. I think this is a very good pitcher's matchup. On the bump for the Padres, you have Blake Snell, the lefty. 81 innings, 3.22 ERA, 104 strikeouts, and a 1.23 whip. Now, Snell struggled out of the gate for sure. And that's why his underlying numbers look a little worse. 4.16 ERA, 3.86 FIP, but he has been dominant lately. He's given up one run or less in six straight outings. His last outing at San Fran, six innings, three hits, no earned runs, no walks, 11 strikeouts. Prior to that, at home against Tampa, six innings, two hits, three walks, 12 strikeouts. At Colorado, seven innings, three hits, one earned run, no walks, 12 strikeouts. Prior to that, at home against Chicago, six innings, two hits, no earned runs, three walks, eight strikeouts. At Miami before that, six innings, three hits, three walks, seven strikeouts. At Washington before that, five innings, four hits, one earned run, four walks, six strikeouts. So in his last six games, he has struck out 6, 7, 8, 12, 12, and 11. And I'm actually on the Blake Snell over 6.5 Ks prop. One four bet. It's not up yet in DraftKings or FanDuel, so shop around. But minus 140 is a lot of juice. I don't usually like to lay. But the Pirates definitely strike out a lot. They're not top of the pack, 16th overall Ks per game. But the way Snell's been going and the way the Pirates have been going lately, they've definitely been struggling. So I like Snell. I like the over 6.5 Ks, and that's what I'm on. Mitch Keller on the other side for the Pirates. 99 innings, 3.45 ERA, 1.11 whip, 3.26 expected ERA, and 3.27 FIP. So actually, maybe some positive regression there. He's kind of been up and down all year long. I like San Diego to win, not going to lay 165. The run line is an even plus 100. So I'd chop around for that. If this gets up to plus 110, plus 115, I think I'd actually be on the Padres. The Pirates have been brutal lately, although they beat the Padres tonight. They've been brutal lately, and I just like the Padres' bats better than Pittsburgh bats. I like Snell the way he's going better than Keller, and I'm not sure I like the Padres better. Yes, so I like Padres to win, not going to lay 165, plus 105, plus 110, plus 115. I'm not sure it's going to get there, so I'm going to over 6.5 Ks. Just a little higher than I like, but the way he's been going lately, I think he can get to 7 Ks tomorrow. The next game, 7-5 in the East. Don't really have a feel for this one. The Orioles are hosting the Reds, continue their series there. With the homos minus 165 in the money line, the Reds plus 140. Total here is 9.5. Juice the under at minus 115, although I do see most of the money coming in the over, but that probably came in when it was at 9. 69% of the bets, 95% of the money on the over. But open at 9, up to 9.5. So stay away from me. And really because of the pitchers, Luke Weaver, the righty starts with Cincinnati, 60.1 innings, 6.86 ERA. 1.59 whip. When you're allowing 1.6 batters per inning to get on base, you're not going to have a lot of success. Now, his expected ERA, 5.37, is, what's that, 1.3 runs less than his actual ERA, but that's still brutal. 5.52 FIP is a bad number. Kyle Gibson, on the other hand, comes in 92 innings, 4.3 ERA, just 69 strikeouts, not missing enough bats, 1.34 whip, which is not impressive either. And he's due for some negative regression, 4.93 expected ERA, but a 3.94 FIP. So a bit of a wash in those stats. I like Gibson over Weaver. Weaver struggled. I like the Baltimore bats, although since been very hot lately. That's why I can't really get a 9.5 total, under juice to 115. But like I said, most money seems to be coming in on the over, but probably when it was at 9. So I think this game's a stay away from me. I like Baltimore. The run line for Baltimore is plus 120. I don't really know there's value there. Not really sure that I want to back either pitcher in Baltimore, pitcher's park, maybe back the O's, maybe back Gibson. If anything, I lean to the run line, but kind of a stay for me because I just don't have a feel for this game, really. Next game, 7-10 in the East, and I don't have a line in this game. Miami Marlins are in Boston to face the Red Sox. For Miami, the lefty Braxton Garrett has been doing quite well this year. 76 and two-thirds innings, 3.64 ERA, 1.15 whip. Caleb Ort, the young righty, is up for Boston, 18 and two-thirds, 5.79 ERA, 1.55 whip. I don't have a line here, so not really sure which way to go. I still got to assume the Red Sox are going to come in minus 120, minus 130 favorite just because they're at home, much better bats. And if you can get them minus 110, minus 115, that'd be in the Sox. And not really sure what the total would be. It's in Boston, probably an 8.5 with a young pitcher like Ort and unknown. But Miami's lineup does not scare anybody. So I would definitely, if you can get it, the Sox at a reasonable price, I would look towards them. And that's about it. Don't know what the number's going to come out total. So stay away from me in general. Next game in New York where the Mets host the Brewers, 7-10 in the East. You get the home Mets at minus 140, the road Brewers at plus 120 on DraftKings, plus 124 on FanDuel, that is where I actually grabbed them. Totally was 8.5, juicy over at minus 115, and not going to be on at that number. For the Brewers, you get lefty Wade Miley. Hits 2 2/3, 2.91 ERA, 1.03 whip. And has looked good in his two games back from the injured list. He comes in with a 2.91 ERA, but a 4.48 expected ERA and a 4.31 FIP. So you look at that, some negative regression due. But he was injured in his last few outings in late May. And in two outings in June, granted he was against Pittsburgh and Cleveland, so not exactly two juggernauts on offense. But the Mets aren't hitting all that well either. In his two outings recently, 11 innings, just 5 hits, no earned runs, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. So he's pitched well, weaker offense, but the Mets are not, as I said, exactly a juggernaut either. And Kodai Senga, very inconsistent, 76 and two-thirds innings, 3.52 ERA, impressive 93 strikeouts, but a 1.34 whip. And so far on the year, his expected ERA should be 3.91, so outperforming that, and a 4.13 FIP, definitely outperforming that. So I don't love the Brewers' bats, but I really don't like him against lefties. And Senga is a righty. And I just think at plus 120 in the money line, just a little too much value there. And Miley's been pitching well. So if he can keep the Mets' bats in check, I'm going to be on the Brewers on the money line. 7:45 in the East, we go to St. Louis where the Cards host the Houston Astros. You get the home Cards minus 120 on the money line. The road Stros plus 100. Totaliers 8.5, juiced to the under at minus 120. Christian Javier, the righty, starts for Houston, 83 innings, 3.25 ERA, 1.12 whip. And Miles Michaelis goes for the Redbirds, 93 and two-thirds innings, 4.23 ERA, just 66 strikeouts, and a 1.36 whip. If anything, I like the Stros here. I know he took Houston tonight and they lost here, but Javier's been pitching well. He's had a few blow-ups during the year, but in general, his numbers are pretty good. 1.12 whip, 77 strikeouts in 83 innings, so just under a strikeout per inning. And Miles Mikolas has been unpredictable at best. So not on this game, but at plus money, I think I lean to the Stros. So stay away from me, even the number 8.5 over. I'm not sure that either of these offenses are really clicking to put up a lot of runs. So not going to touch that one. But in general, if this gets up to my plus 110, plus 115 for the Astros, I would look towards that. Don't think it will, but that's kind of my lean. 8:05 in the East is the next game, and we have Detroit and Texas to continue their series. Rangers won 8-3 tonight. The home Rangers minus 250 in the money line. The road Tigers plus 185. The number is 9.5, juice to the under. I'd actually think I would lean to the under here. I'm not really sure Detroit can put any runs on the board. And Texas can put up some, but not sure they're going to get 6 or 7. Reason being, for the Tigers, lefty Joey Wentz starts 1-8 on the year. Not a good record, Joey. 67 innings, 6.72 ERA, 1.58 whip. with a expected ERA of 5.47, so well over run less, but that's still a bad expected ERA and a FIP of 5.46, so still bad numbers. Dunning, on the other hand, 6-1, 71 and two-thirds innings, 2.76 ERA, 1.17 whip, but only 41 strikeouts, so not missing many bats, and he is due for some negative regression. 2.76 ERA, but a 5.09 expected ERA and a 3.93 FIP. So not quite as bad as expected ERA, but due for some regression on the FIP side. The problem is, or the fact is, he's facing Detroit, so I'm not really too worried about how they're going to hit him. And Texas is facing a lefty. Against the lefties, 294 batting average, third best in baseball, 366 on base, the best. 433 slugging, third best, and WRC plus against lefties, second best. The problem is minus 215 on the money line for Texas. Can't back that. Minus 115 in the run line. That's a tough one too. If this gets any better on the run line, maybe, but I think it's a stay away for me. You know, you get the Tigers at plus 185. I'm not touching that. If I can get the run line closer to even money, I would maybe look towards that, but probably not going to be on it. Next game in Chicago, and we have for the Cubs, we have the typical wind factor. Right now, I get the Phillies minus 120 on the money line, the home Cubbies plus 100. Aaron Nola, the righty, goes for Philly, 100.2 innings pitched, 4.38 ERA, 1.07 whip, 98 strikeouts. Drew Smyly, the lefty, goes for the Cubbies, 82 and two-thirds innings, 3.38 ERA, and a 1.22 whip. Now, I like the Phillies in this game, but without the wind metric yet, not really sure which way this is going to go. And I just think they're going to be able to hit Smyly a little more. He's been very inconsistent this year, so don't really want to back him. And trying to pull up what the Phillies have been doing against lefties. They've been decent, kind of league average against lefties. And I think they have deeper bats. I'm not a huge proponent of the Cubs. But until I see where the wind's going, can't touch a number, which is not out yet. If the wind's blowing out, it's probably going to be 8.5. If the wind's blowing in, we're probably going to look at 7.5, maybe 8. But if anything, lean to the Phillies at minus 120 on the money line behind Nola. The next game up, I don't have a line on either. 8-10 in the East. The Cleveland Guardians are in Kansas City to face the Royals. And the reason is Austin Cox, the lefty for Colorado, for Kansas City, is going 12 and a third innings, 13 strikeouts, 0.49 whip. I'm guessing this may be an opener kind of situation. And Logan Allen goes for Cleveland, also a lefty, 58 and a third innings, 3.68 ERA, 1.45 whip. Been hot and cold, up and down this year. And if anything, actually, now that I look at DraftKings, I see a line. Cleveland minus 130, KC plus 110. Total here is 9. You can get the Guardians at plus 125. I think I actually backed the Guardians on the run line at plus 125. They're on the road, so they're going to get the full nine at bats. Austin Cox is, as I said, probably an opener. And I just can't back the Kansas City bats. They've been struggling against everybody. A little better against lefties, but kind of marginally better. Still bottom third. And I think Logan Allen can keep them in check. So if anything, I would take the Casey run line here. Sorry, not the Casey. What are we doing here? The Cleveland run line at plus 125, just because of the it's a healthy number there. I don't really love the Cleveland bats. Don't take them on a run line a whole lot, but I think they can get to Casey. Austin Cox, if he goes 1, 2, 3 innings, and their bullpen behind that is not very strong. So I would lean that. Not on it yet, but I'm going to watch that number, and I would lean towards the Guardians run line. Haven't said that very many times this year. Now, this game I don't see a number on. 8:40 in the East at Coors Field in Colorado. The Rockies host the Dodgers. For the Dodgers, righty Michael Groves on the hill, 32 innings, 7.59 ERA, 1.53 whip, 31 strikeouts in 32 innings, but giving up a runner and a half is not a good recipe, especially in Colorado. Kyle Freeland, the lefty for Colorado, 85 and a third innings, 4.54 ERA, 1.39 whip, just 53 strikeouts. Not really going to give much an angle here. I got to assume the Dodgers come in minus 170, minus 180. They're just better team, better hitting team, better bullpen. Grove and Freeland's a bit of a wash. I actually lean towards Freeland. But in Colorado, who knows? The number's probably going to be 11.5 and 12, or 12. So can't really give you much of a feel for that. Run line, it'd be interesting to see what the run line is. If you can get a plus money Dodgers run line and a game, a lot of runs going to be scored where I like the Dodgers bats a lot better, maybe. But it would have to be like plus 115, plus 120. Other than that, not really going to touch that game. Next game, we head to LA for the Angels, who are hosting the Chicago White Sox. You get the home Angels minus 120 on the money line. The Road Sox plus 100. 8.5 here is the total. And I actually got it, on FanDuel, on DraftKings 8.5. I actually got it on FanDuel just recently, under 9 at minus 115. I think both pitchers, I think, are doing well lately. And they both have the ability to limit other teams. So Lucas Giolito on the hill for Chicago. Not a great year, but it's been doing all right lately. 92 and a third innings, 3.41 ERA, 99 strikeouts, very impressive, and a 1.2 whip. When I look at his numbers, maybe some negative regression due, 4.27 ERA and a 4.2 whip, but he has been very inconsistent. When he's on, he's on. I think he can limit the A's bats or the Angels bats. And if he's off, yeah, he's giving about 4 or 5 runs. So it's more to me an angle that I think he can limit LA. And as long as he limits his walks, which when he walks more guys, gives us some hard contact, a few home runs, he has a problem. But LA strikes out a fair bit, 99 strikeouts. He should be able to limit some base runners there, I hope. For the Angels, Jaime Barria on the hill, 46 and a third innings, 2.14 ERA, 1.06 whip, 40 strikeouts, having a good year. And his peripherals say a little regression is due, 3.69 expected ERA and a 3.7 FIP. So he's definitely been outperforming that 2.14 ERA. But I'm not really sure Chicago's bats are going to light him up. So I just think it's a good pitcher's duel at night in LA. Not a good pitcher's duel. Two decent pitchers in LA at night. Runs could be a premium. I got it at 9. I wouldn't take it anything under 8.5 on DraftKings right now. Not touching that. But a 9 on FanDuel. If you can get it at 9, definitely look towards that. The next game is in Arizona, where the Diamondbacks face the Tampa Rays. You can get the home D-backs at plus 130 in the money line, and the road Rays at minus 150. Total here is 9, juicy over at minus 115. Not really sure which way to go. I don't really like either of these pitchers. For Tampa, Zach Eflin, the righty, 9-3, 83 and a third innings, 3.35 ERA, 1.03 whip, 84 strikeouts, but it's struggled a little lately, so I don't have a lot of confidence in him, especially against the hot Diamondbacks lineup. Flip side, Zach Davies, I have even less confidence in him. Just 35 and two-thirds, 7.82 ERA, 1.82 whip. So the Rays come in minus 150 on the money line, the home D-backs plus 130. Like I said, total here is 9, juice to the over at minus 115. Probably more value on the Diamondbacks at plus 130, but Eflin, Tampa's big free agent signing, had a great start, struggled a little in early June, seems to ride the ship lately. I probably like Tampa to win here, but not at minus 150, not the way Arizona's been playing and with their hot bats. When I look at where the money's coming in, it's pretty much coming in on the over 9, 67% of the bets, 97% of the money. But I don't really know. Two good offenses for sure. But if Eflin shows up, he's able to limit Arizona. This number does not get to 9. So going to stay away from that, just like the last game of the night. These are two teams I just don't want to bet lately. for most of the year, actually, but definitely lately. Last game, 9:40 in the East, the Yankees are in Oakland to play the Athletics. Yankees come in -155 in the money line. The Athletics +135. Total here is 8, just the under at -115. And actually, money coming in on the over, 64% of the bets, 93% of the money. And I think that's where I'd go. A little reverse line movement, though, because it's only -105. So money's on the over. So money's definitely coming in on the under. When I look at the matchup, Domingo Germán goes for the Yankees, 72 and a third innings, 5.10 ERA, 1.18 whip. J.P. Sears, the lefty, goes for Oakland, 83 and a third innings, 4.1 ERA, and 1.03 whip. And I just don't like either lineup right now. With Judge out for the Yankees, they've struggled. Yeah, their slugging has been decent, but they've definitely struggled. And Sears has pitched well. He's got a 1.03 ERA and a 1.03 whip and a 4.10 ERA for Oakland. But I just can't back Oakland to beat the Yankees. So, and I don't want to lay 155 with the Yanks. Maybe the Yankees run line at +120, there might be some value there because I think they're a better team. If Domingo Germán can have a good game, he's definitely going to be able to shut down Oakland. So, if anything, back the Yankees run line at +130, but not really sure I can even get to that between these teams. So, not a lot of plays for me, which is kind of in the trend the last week. I do like Washington and Seattle if you can get it under 8.5. I do like San Diego and Pitt. I like the Blake Snell over 6.5 Ks. Juice down to -140, so a steep price, but I just like the way he's been pitching. Milwaukee and the Mets. I like Milwaukee with Wade Miley on the hill at +124. And then the White Sox and the Angels, I'm on the under 9 at -115. So not a ton of plays, 3 plays, 1 prop. Hopefully you like some angles. Hopefully something clicks for you. Hopefully you can make some money. Hopefully we can all make some money. And hopefully we're going to have a great day in sports betting.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.